It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, many houses in Wisconsin have a history, going way back before their current owners moved in, and with a little work, you can learn the story of your home. We talk with an expert about hunting for house history. First, as the saying goes, nothing in life is certain except for death and taxes. And with the deadline to file your taxes just days away, we wanted to talk about just that, your federal taxes. Love them or hate them, taxes are a part of life. But knowing how your tax dollars are allocated, and perhaps more importantly, what decisions led to that allocation, can be a bit of a mystery. Our next guest is here to talk about how the government spends your taxes in the federal budget. And we'll also take your calls about where you'd choose to send your tax dollars if you had a choice. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. Vanessa Williamson is a senior fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution. She's also the author of Read My Lips, Why Americans Are Proud to Pay Taxes. Vanessa, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get started, there have been quite a few stories from people this year about their taxes being higher than normal, which usually means that their refunds are smaller than usual, or they've had to pay when in the past they haven't. Is that accurate?
Well, it's a bit of a mixed bag. So the changes that happened under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, a small percentage of people will have seen actual tax increases, but there were a series of sort of mishaps that occurred early in the tax season that made some people's refunds smaller than usual. Now, those refunds were often smaller because they had had less withheld during the year. That is to say, their withholding was more accurate. But if you were expecting the same refund that you got last year and you didn't really notice that you had a few extra bucks each month, that could have come as a bit of a shock.
Taxes are always kind of a boogeyman for a lot of people, including lawmakers. Why do taxes get such a bad rap?
Well, I think taxes are a way of thinking about how happy you are with your government. So to the extent that you're unhappy with your government, you're unhappy with your taxes. And so when people are frustrated with U.S. government, state government, local government, whatever it is, I think they tend to express a lot of concern about the money that they're sending, right? Because the dollars you pay in taxes are your contribution to what should be the public good as decided by a democratic process. And when it doesn't live up to that ideal, people get frustrated.
So we send in our taxes either because they're withheld during the year or because we write a check at the end of the year. And there's a federal budget that is passed and approved and enacted. How do those two come together? How do tax dollars pay for budget items and how is that decided?
Right. Well, there are some programs that are preordained, right, that we've basically already agreed to spend on. Social Security and Medicare being two of the obvious examples. People have already been paying into those programs. A promise was made to those people. They should get the benefits that they're expecting at the end. So that's part of the budget. Other part of the budget that is decided by Congress is all the other things that we spend a lot of money on, including a fair amount of healthcare spending, but also, national defense and housing and some money going to education and the national parks and all the other things. There are a lot of moving pieces, but I can provide a quick summary of where the money goes, if that helps. It's relatively easy to remember. A quarter of the money in the federal budget goes to Social Security. A quarter of the money in the federal budget goes to Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, and ACA, so all health care expenses. About 16% of the budget goes to defense and international security, and then a little less than 10% of the budget goes to safety net programs. So that's your earned income tax credits, your child tax credit, cash payments for low-income people, supplemental security income for disabled people, SNAP, so what's commonly called food stamps, and then the last sort of piece that stands alone is interest on the debt, right? Because we're spending more than we're taking in. So those are sort of the big chunks. The last fifth of the budget is split amongst a whole bunch of things, but a lot of those things are actually really popular. So infrastructure, care for veterans, investing in education, science, and medical research. But that's a pretty small chunk compared to the big pieces.
We're talking with Vanessa Williamson right now. She's a senior fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution. She's the author of Read My Lips, Why Americans Are Proud to Pay Taxes. We talked with her about that when the book came out. And today we're talking about where our federal tax dollars go. And we're asking you where you would like them to go or not to go to if you had a choice. And you can call in at 800-642-1234 and let us know. And so you broke that down, and as you said, it does turn into, you know, fairly identifiable pieces of pie of the budget and of taxes. I think for some people, there are some surprises in there. For instance, one of the things that's also kind of a boogeyman, especially for conservatives, is the amount that's spent on foreign aid. And that is non-military money that's spent in other countries. But that is an extremely small amount of the budget. I believe it's 0.7% of 1%.
That's right. Less than 1% of the budget goes to humanitarian aid. One reason I think that people tend to overestimate it is because they lump it in with a lot of military spending, right? So a lot of our foreign aid goes to places like Afghanistan and Iraq. Now we're spending very little money is actually on humanitarian aid. A whole lot is spent on the war efforts that are over there. So I think that can leave people a little confused about what really qualifies as foreign aid.
I wanted to also go back to something you said, Vanessa, because there's defense spending, but actually Veterans Affairs is separate from that.
That's exactly right. And I think that, you know, sometimes when we're thinking about, whether a military engagement is a good idea, we forget that the long-term costs, I mean, the war itself is, of course, extremely expensive and costly, of course, in lives. But we also forget that the folks coming home from those wars need to be looked after. And I know that overwhelmingly Americans agree that those are expenses worth taking on, but they do add up. And so, yes, veteran spending is a large part of the budget.
And there are kind of two sides to that coin, because if someone is concerned that not enough is being spent on defense, they might not realize that a large defense budget doesn't necessarily trickle down to, as you said, those veterans who have already served. Conversely, someone who would like to see more go to veterans might not be eyeing that in the budget because they think it's included in what they might see as a very large defense budget.
Yeah, when you look at American attitudes about defense spending, when you break it down into smaller categories, attitudes become a lot clearer because, as a rule, spending on foreign military engagements is pretty unpopular, but spending on service members themselves, both while in service and afterwards as veterans, is very, very popular. And so similarly, there's a lot of concern about, military contracting, quite reasonably, about military contracting having huge cost overruns and producing, you know, planes that the Pentagon doesn't even want, is sort of the classic example. And those things are not viewed very positively, but that doesn't affect at all whether people think that, you know, someone serving in the Army and their family should have health insurance. Of course, they think they should have health care.
How do tax priorities break down along political lines, usually among the members of the public, for instance, when they're polled?
So this is a great question. And one of the important things to remember is that not all taxes are federal taxes. So there's a whole array of things about which there is very little partisan disagreement. And those are taxes that are spent locally. So I conducted some surveys where I asked people two questions, both open-ended, and just recorded all of the things they said. One, what are you glad tax dollars pay for? Two, what are you upset tax dollars pay for? And I measure those on two axes. First, I looked at whether programs were popular, how many people put something in glad versus upset. And then I measured how often it was mentioned at all, right? Yeah. And so at the very top, the most popular programs at varying levels of salience or people's awareness of them were local spending. So that's roads, schools, hospitals, parks, all those sorts of physical things you can see in your neighborhood. And, you know, roads and school is like 30% of people remembered to mention. A pretty small percentage of people mention sewers, but anyone who does thinks it's a good idea. You know? So there's actually a whole category in which there's very little partisan divide. Where you see partisan divides primarily are health care, obviously, because that's been a partisan issue in Washington for decades, but especially recently, and secondarily spending on the poor. There's a lot more concern on the Republican side that undeserving people are benefiting, and there's more of a sense on the Democratic side that those investments are important to keep all Americans above a certain threshold of poverty.
It seemed also that there might be a difference in how important people thought that defense spending was. It wasn't that liberals thought it wasn't important at all, and Republicans or conservatives thought it was the most important thing, but there's often a difference there.
That's exactly right. And I think it's one of the things that you'll find a lot more consensus across parties if you break it down into narrower categories, right? So there's huge consensus on ensuring that service members and their families have all the things that they need. That is a bipartisan view of the American public, right? Now, when it comes to things like whether to go to war in Iraq, obviously there you start to see a huge partisan divide.
Let's go to the phones at 800-642-1234. And Gary in Fitchburg is up first. Hi, Gary.
Hi. It's interesting to hear such a dominant part of the discussion on defense spending, and I applaud that. I think we have 30-some thousand troops in Korea border. We have probably 38,000 troops in Germany. If we add all these up, let's bring these troops home, put them to work on high-speed trains. That would create a lot of jobs, and it would eliminate a lot of poverty. Roads, bridges, improve education. Let's put money to work here and stop this military adventurism around the world.
Thanks for that call, Gary. And Vanessa, does that echo some things that you've heard from people that you've spoken to?
Definitely. I think that, because we are now, many, many, many years, soon to be many decades into a conflict in Afghanistan, there has been a really strong sense, and then, of course, the war in Iraq thereafter, there has been a really strong sense in the public that, that this shouldn't be a sustainable long-term sort of investment. Instead, we should invest more at home. It's a very common sentiment.
Vanessa Williamson is a senior fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution. She's with us to talk about where our federal tax dollars go ahead of the tax deadline of April 15th. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about where your federal taxes go? If you had a say, how would you want your taxes spent? And on the flip side, where do you not want your taxes to go? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go back to the phones and pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we continue our conversation about federal taxes ahead of the tax deadline on Monday. Our guest, Vanessa Williamson, is a senior fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution. And we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about where your tax dollars go? If you don't mind paying your taxes, tell us why. If not, tell us why you don't and what you'd like to see change. And we're taking your calls about where you'd like to see your tax dollars go. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Vanessa, let's go back to our callers right now, and let's go to Eric in Milwaukee. Hi, Eric.
Hi. Hey, great show. I think it's really germane and I think it probably has a lot of interest. I know I really don't mind paying taxes, especially in America, because we're so cheap compared to the rest of the civilized world. The thing the question that I have basically is, in your analysis, have you broken down tax expenditures on sort of a investment versus an expense delineation, meaning, those things that just cost us money because we have to pay it, like, debt service or military weapons that are never going to get used or that sort of thing, versus things that will generate income and jobs and future growth for the nation, like infrastructure and education. And one specific close to my heart is basic scientific research. I know that's way down. And then a secondary question is, have you assessed in your analysis of tax expenditures accountability around those expenditures? In other words, like, for instance, DOD and the various branches of the military haven't really had a verifiable audited budget for decades now. And it's an ongoing process. And there are these massive cost overrun projects that people don't even know about. I think, for instance, that really affect not only the amount that we're paying for basic services that we need, but that also are indicate a level of corruption and lack of accountability.
I'm going to jump in there, Eric, because I want to give Vanessa a chance to respond. Lots to go there. One of the things that Eric talked about was really interesting, things that are payments that we don't see any result from, as he said, like debt service versus investments. And he talks specifically about infrastructure and basic scientific research. Is there any sense? I'm sure that's a hard thing to tease out, but do you have a sense, Vanessa, where we might stand on those?
Sure. So about 2% of the federal budget goes to science and medical research. And of course, America for a very long time has been at the forefront of medical research. And I think the caller is exactly right to say that basic research over the long term has enormous implications for the health of our economy and the health of our people, right? So, everything from developing the idea of the internet, right? Can we even imagine a modern economy without it? A lot of that was spent via basic research. Spending, sometimes defense spending, but also all the medical and scientific spending is terribly important for those long-term investments. I think that more broadly, the caller's point is really important that we need to think about the budget in terms of making priorities, right? So if you imagine, for instance, so we spend, let's say, 16% of the budget in 2016 on defense and international security, that's about $600 billion, that's approximately how much we spend on Medicare. And Medicare provides health insurance for 57 million people. So when we're thinking about what we want to spend money on, we've got to understand that we're making a choice, right? And I think that, the federal government can and has for a very long time run a deficit. That is because the American government can print money and also, because we can have bonds that then, create sort of wealth in the private economy. The question, though, are the investments we're making with that money good investments? And I think there's real variation in the return that we see.
Let's go back to the phones, and Elaine in Colfax is up. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I had an idea that there should be a minimum wage for Social Security recipients, and I was thinking $1,000 a month would be fair and give some dignity to the elderly in this country, the richest country in the world, and the money could be raised by raising the Social Security. I think it's at $126,000. After that, they don't pay any more in. That could be raised. That would raise money. And it also would infuse rural areas with cash, to stores or buying pennies or whatever. Elderly people are really strapped. And also, I think it would help urban areas where people work very, very hard, but they have a very, very small Social Security check, and their savings can go really quick if there's any kind of medical or car problem or whatever.
Thanks for that call, Elaine. And that seems to be in line with what you were saying, Vanessa, that people like to pay for things that are kind of close to home and very concrete results.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. It is certainly the case that directing funds in whatever way to low-income people has an enormous and immediate economic boon because they'll spend the money.
Go ahead. Please finish.
The advantage of providing dollars to people at the lower end of the income spectrum is that that money will immediately be recycled back into the economy because they're not going to sit on the money. They're going to go out and pay for the rent and buy the medications they need and that sort of thing. So it's absolutely true that providing basic benefits to people who are really at the edge and struggling to get by has enormous economic gains.
We're talking with Vanessa Williamson of the Brookings Institution about where our federal tax dollars go and asking where you would like to see them go. And Vanessa, I want to go back to a point that a previous caller made, and I forgot to stop when he said it. He talked about how we don't pay that much in taxes in the U.S., and that is not a very commonly held belief. How do we compare to other countries?
Yes, that is, I'm afraid, absolutely true, despite all the aggravation that we all experience when we file our federal income taxes. That doesn't actually make our government especially large. By international standards, the United States is a relatively low-tax country. That is to say that the amount of our GDP that goes through our federal government is relatively small. It's about 21%. Other countries have far more of their GDP that sort of cycles through the public sector. And largely that's because most countries provide some version of universal health care. So because we don't do that, we have lower tax rates. We do spend an awful lot on defense compared to other countries. But because there's a more robust social safety net, both healthcare and pensions, that kind of thing, in most of Europe and in Australia and Canada, that kind of thing, we tend to have a much, we do traditionally have a much lower percentage of our GDP going into the government.
Marcus and Madison said that the debt is getting out of hand. Way too much money is also being spent on the military. And Vanessa, if I remember correctly, is it 7% of the federal budget goes to just pay interest on the federal debt?
Yeah, that's about right. Obviously, it varies slightly from year to year, but that's a good number to keep in mind. The reality, in my opinion, it would be worthwhile to accrue debt that is going to result in benefits later. Right. So if you invest in something in the same way that if you invest in an education, that's going to be, get you a great job. Right. It's worthwhile to do that. I think it's worthwhile for the country to invest, even if it means putting more bonds into the economy. If it means that if it were invested in things that were going to substantially improve living standards in the United States or grow the economy or you know, sort of achieve ends that Americans think of as important, right? So I think that one of the challenges we face is that we don't raise as much money as other countries, and we're spending it in ways that are actually not always terribly popular.
Darlene on Facebook wrote, where I don't want my taxes to go includes corporate oil welfare subsidies, the war industry, aid to foreign governments to prop up their oppressive and aggressive military regimes. Where I'd like most of my taxes to go includes health care, food programs, disaster relief, housing, education, and infrastructure. And also caller Mary in Milwaukee said there needs to be more money going towards research and services towards mental health issues. So it seems like there's quite a disconnect between what our representatives in Congress and whoever's in the White House are putting forward in these budgets compared to what people seem to really care about.
That's exactly right. There are enormous differentials in that regard. In fact, particularly on the question of a category I put together is corporate bailouts, which sounded like your first respondent there was talking about. It is a subject that when I was asking those questions, what are you glad tax dollars pay for? What are you upset tax dollars pay for? No one ever mentions the money that corporations get in terms of, you know, special tax deals or bailouts in the past. No one ever mentions those positively. They are only ever mentioned by people who dislike them. So, yes, there are definitely disconnects between how the government spends and the sort of priorities of American voters.
Well, Vanessa, thanks so much for joining us. It was a great conversation.
Thank you.
Vanessa Williamson is a senior fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution. She joined us today to talk about taxes, namely where your federal tax dollars go. And we asked what you'd like the government to spend your taxes on if you had the choice. You can continue the conversation on the Ideas Network Facebook page.